I've asked Ramona to share a song with us before the message. Come on, Ramona.
A woman tried many physicians, yet grew worse, so to Jesus she came. And when the crowd tried to restrain her, she whispered these words through her pain: touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name. I was bound when I knelt at that old altar, but they said Jesus, He could meet every need. And when this prisoner finally touched Jesus, He set me free, praise the Lord, free indeed. Touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call on His name.
Thank you, Ramona. Okay, we're going to dismiss the... I guess you still want to go to your class today, Ramona? Okay. There's only one way that we can touch Jesus, and that is by believing in His name, believing in Him. There are a lot of people today that say, well, I'd like to, but we just believe and touch Jesus by believing in Him. Today, I would like to talk to you about the awe of God. We say, you know, we think of it as, tears come through my nostrils too. The awe of God. Today we sing a song about I stand in awe of You, Holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of You. What does that really mean? I stand in awe of You, the awe of God. And I would like to just welcome the Holy Spirit. We've already invited Him, but I want to ask for His anointing and let Him know that we are nothing without that anointing. We do not receive the Word of God except that He anoints it upon our minds and hearts. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You today that You are here, that You have come to be with us, to anoint our hearts, to point us to the Father. I thank You, Lord, that You are more than enough for everything that we have need of. There are those today that have needs that only You can meet, but we trust You, and Your awesome presence is welcome here as we study and we learn about You, and we surrender our lives to You, Lord. Do with us what You would have done in our lives. Let my lips serve you. Oh God, I pray that you will help me speak what you have laid upon my heart, and that you will let our minds and our hearts receive it. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Being God-fearing should not be a fear of God's power or a fear of God's wrath. Sometimes people say, oh, the fear of God, I know God is, he's going to strike me down if I do something. But it should be a recognition of his glory and a fear of displeasing him, a recognition that he is worthy and we do not want to offend. It's a sincere desire to obey God. That is how we see the awe of God. Fear of the Lord causes one to be acutely aware of the glory and majesty of God, of the undeserved and unmerited gift of God's redemptive love. That fear of God, or that awesome presence, recognizing the awe of God, how awesome he is. Fear of the Lord could be translated as awe of God, as I have titled my message today. And as I said, we sing about, I stand in awe of you, holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And we stand and we are in his presence. I don't know if you had, I trust that you have devotions at home, that you pray and that you come before him. And there are times when you sense such an awesome presence of God that you say, God, how can I receive more of you? This body cannot receive the awesome presence of your glory. The awe of God in our lives affects the decisions that we make. It influences our language. It affects our attitude. It influences the choices we make. It brings wisdom and understanding. And the awe of God causes us to make right choices even when no earthly person knows about that choice. And whether we make a wrong choice or a choice to not obey God or not to trust him, no one here on earth may know it, but God knows. And that awe that we sense, his presence, means that we do what is pleasing to him regardless of who else knows about it, because God does. I think of Genesis, the 39th chapter, and I've talked about this before, but I want to refer to it, where Joseph demonstrated his awe of God when he was seduced by Potiphar's wife. And when she tried to seduce him, and he said, how could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? He was not concerned about, well, I wouldn't say he wasn't concerned, but it wasn't being offended that he might offend her husband or offend somebody else or somebody might know. He said, I cannot do this to offend my righteous God. God had been with him over and over again, and he said, and even though he'd gone through terrible times and was going to go through worse times, he said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? I think that sometimes we fail to teach our young people, especially, and our everybody. It is not just that you don't want to do something that somebody's going to find out about. You want to do the things that are pleasing to God. God, is this what you want for my life? There are so many people that make choices, decisions for a life that they're going to lead, and they don't consult God. God, is this what you want for me? And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a bad choice or a sinful choice. Even, God, I want what you want for me in my life. So the awe of God causes us to make these right choices. When Charles Finney received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said it seemed to go through his body and soul like waves of liquid love. And that's what God is. It's like the love of God overwhelms and goes through us beyond any understanding of any love that we experience otherwise. He said, like the very breath of God, this experience filled him with a sense of the awe of God. Oh God, I pray, give us a Holy Spirit experience that fills us with the awe of God. Instead of the unrighteous brazenness of the world, sometimes we think that the boldness that the world presents is what we want. But that's not what God wants. We want that awe of His Holy Spirit to be present in our lives. The conviction of His Spirit. God's warning to Israel and to us today is, do not let the environment of the secular society that surrounds you dictate your values. That's what so many of us have done. So many people, even in the church, have allowed the things that are, the world says this is the way it should be, and they've allowed it to dictate their values because, after all, our culture is different today, they say. But God gave specific instructions. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse 14, He told His people, He said, do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. We tend to follow somebody else, and they say, well, this is okay, it's approved. No, it is not. According to the Word of God, sin is still sin. In Joshua, the 3rd chapter, God gave specific and clear instructions to Joshua that the priests that were carrying the Ark of the Lord, representing God's glory was contained at that time within that Ark of the Covenant. They were carrying it. They were to go before the people, and the people were to follow. I'm telling you, we are to follow the glory and the presence of God. We don't be the leader. We're not the leader of God's presence. We make our decisions based on that. But he said, Joshua said, now fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Fear the Lord. It means have an honor, an awe of God, and serve Him in sincerity and truth. And if it seems, he said, evil to you to serve the Lord, he said, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We make that decision, and we have that that covering over our house. We will serve the Lord. In Psalms, the 34th chapter, David wrote, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear Him, and He delivers them. When we recognize the awe of God, the Lord delivers us when we come against things that we need His help, and we always need His help. He says, oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. My, how we need to come before His presence and let Him teach us what is the awesome, the fear of God, the recognition of the awe of God, how that He is there to supply everything that we have need of. And Proverbs, the 9th chapter, verse 10, the fear of the Lord, he says, is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You may think that you're wise. There are a lot of people in this world today that think they're very wise, but they are not. They're fools. They professing themselves to be wise, they have become fools. And that's what much of the world has done today. But God says, when we seek the fear of the Lord, when we have the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. We understand what is really life. The fear of God brings action into our lives. Just because we say, I believe it and I fear God, or I honor Him and I want to recognize that He is awesome, it brings correction. It brings an action. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote, he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, somebody else, sometimes some people think that they have the responsibility to cleanse or to tell you what is sin and what you need to get rid of. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will tell you, and the Word of God tells you. You don't have to listen to somebody else. I'm not saying we disregard teaching, but the Word of God tells us what is sin, what is right. He will give us that spirit and that conscience. In Exodus, the 1st chapter, verse 17, you remember how that when Pharaoh wanted to get rid of all of the boy babies, and he said, get rid of all those little boys because they're going to overtake, they're going to overpower us. And it was because the midwives feared God, it says, that they obeyed him by sparing the Hebrew babies instead of obeying the authorities that said, kill the Hebrew baby boys. Why did they not do it? When their lives were literally at stake, when the Pharaoh said, kill them all because they're going to overpower our nation. And the midwives said, we can't do it. We can't do it. And so they made excuses, but they said, because the authorities, God is a greater authority. In Exodus, the 18th chapter, Moses chose leaders who feared God. They were not covetous and would not take bribes. We need some people in our country today like that, don't we? There are so many that are willing to take a bribe or willing to make compromise. But Moses said, give me leaders who fear God and are not covetous and will not take bribes and make decisions based on what somebody else gives to them. In Romans, the 3rd chapter, it says the unrighteous have no fear of God. I don't want to be one of those, do you? A.W. Tozer said, when men no longer fear God, they transgress his laws without hesitation. The fear of consequences is no deterrent when the fear of God is gone. There are people that, even knowing that they may get incarcerated, if they disobey a law, they'll go ahead and do it. But they don't have any regard when the fear of God is no longer there. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, the writer there wrote, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When we have the fear of God, the recognition of his awesome presence, then we depart from evil things. We don't want anything to do with them. And then in the 8th chapter, it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way. Those are things that show us that we have the fear of God, that we have an honor of his presence, of his awesomeness. He says, and the perverted mouth do I hate, says the Lord. There are a lot of people that are one thing in church and something else out in the field or in the world. They become like the world. But it says here that when you fear the Lord, you hate those things, the perverted mouth, all of that God hates, says the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. We can have a lot of people that are seeking and they have great education in the world, but yet they are ignorant that they don't have any knowledge. They have no knowledge based on the fear of God. It says, fools despise wisdom and discipline. When our children do not want to have correction, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about a father who corrects his children because he loves them and he wants to guide them in the proper path. How wonderful and how blessed they are to have that correction in their lives. The fear of the Lord might be compared to electricity. How is that? Electricity is useful and it's beneficial. It brings light and power, but there are specific rules for the use and handling of electricity. If those rules are ignored, disaster or death is the result. The same is true with the fear of the Lord. Life decisions have consequences, good or bad, based on our choice to obey or disobey. If we disobey, then it will come against us, and God will not give us the protection that we could receive by obedience. In Deuteronomy, God says, if you fully obey the Lord, your God, and carefully follow all his commands, blessings will come on you and accompany you. Blessings will come. Now, that doesn't mean that sometimes there are things that are distasteful that come against us. They do. However, he says, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees, curses will come on you and overtake you. We bring those on ourselves many times because of the choices that we make. How many times, you see, I've lived long enough to see the choices that some people have made, young people have made choices, and I see the end result. And some of you have lived long enough as well to see that, or even maybe young enough to see it. We see that. And when we obey the Lord, God blesses us, and He supplies our needs. He takes care of us. I'm not telling you that we don't have to do anything. We have to be obedient and do the things He's told us to do. In Proverbs, He says, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Well, now we see some people that are pretty wicked and living a long life, but I'll tell you, their years are short anyway, because eternity, we have an eternity with God when we fear Him, we recognize His glory. In Psalms, the 89th chapter, who in the heavens, David says, can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. God is a God to be revered and to be honored. And we honor Him by our obedience. I remember and you have heard the story probably in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, where Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took censers and put fire in it. They put incense on it and offered profane fire before the Lord. They were disobeying God. He had not commanded them to do that. He had commanded them not to do it. And they treated as common something that was holy, something that God revered as holy, and they treated it as a common. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. You say, well, some people say, well, how can God be so cruel? How could God be somebody to just kill people because of a mistake? It wasn't a mistake. It was a choice to disobey and dishonor the glory of God. And so as an example, they were killed. And this is what the Lord spoke, saying to Moses. Moses said to Aaron, he said, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, he said, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. We have to regard God as holy. In our lives, in our talking, in our walking, in everything we do, when we're out in the world and we think nobody sees, we still must honor the Lord. 1 Peter, he says there, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors. He said, with the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without blemish or defect, He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him, through Jesus, you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and hope are in God. We read that, we believe it, and we see it. And then He says, purify yourselves by obeying the truth. How do we purify ourselves? Well, you say, I can't make myself holy. No, you cannot. But He said, obey the truth and have sincere love for one another. In Psalm, the 25th chapter, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. I want to know more about God, don't you? I want to fear Him. I want to honor Him. God instructed Abraham to take your son. He told him, take Isaac and take him up there to Mount Moriah. That's, my understanding, is the same place where Jesus was crucified years later. But Abraham said, then as Abraham obeyed and was going up there and he went to Mount Moriah, God said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now, He said, I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. He said, this is the way that I know is your obedience. God recognizes our obedience when we serve Him. He wants us to be obedient. God knew that Abraham feared Him because of his obedience. In Proverbs, the writer says, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I want to understand. I want to have his knowledge. I want to gain his wisdom. Don't you? Revival happens when the fear of God grips individuals, families, churches, and communities. When that reverence and that awe of God comes into your life, it changes your life and your attitude. Duncan Campbell described revival as God was everywhere. He said it seemed everywhere. There was an awareness of God in his greatness and his grace everywhere. That is the fear of God in demonstration. I think about the woman who came with the sinner woman that came into the house of Peter. And she came and washed Jesus' feet with the hairs of her head. You say, well, she was unworthy to do that. That's what the disciples thought. They said, well, who is this person? But she recognized the awesomeness of God. She said what the awe that was there within Jesus. She wanted that awe in her life. She wanted that presence in her life. And God honored it. In his book, Knowledge of the Holy, A.W. Tozer said, the greatness of God rouses fear within us, but his goodness encourages us not to be afraid of him. The fear that he's talking about is honor, recognizing his glory, saying he is a great God. I want to be controlled or led by him in everything that I do, everything that I say, everything that I think. I want God to lead me. Oh, that we would hunger for God's presence. I think about the stories that I heard. My sister Grace was 10 years old, and she said, Mama, Daddy, I'm so hungry for God. 10 years old. You know, you can hunger for the presence of God at any age. I remember when I was 5 or 6 years old, that I felt like my life, it was filled with sin. It wasn't that I'd gone out and committed some horrible murder or fornication. It was not that. It was a recognition that without the presence of God in my life, I was a sinner. And that's true with every one of us. When we see the glory of God, when Isaiah said, when I beheld his glory, I said, wretched man that I am. I'm a sinner, or I'm a man of unclean lips, he said. And when we come before the presence of the glory of God, that's the way we see ourselves. Without him, we are unfit and unclean. And Grace was so hungry for God that she said, I just need to go and talk to God. And she went up into the attic. This is long, she was the firstborn of 13, so I'm third to the youngest, so she was a lot older than I. But she went up into the attic and she began to pray, God, I want your presence. I just want to know you, your glory in my life. Let it come into my life. She didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She only knew she was hungry for God, but she began to speak in a heavenly language because of that hunger and that recognition of who God is, his glory, his awesomeness, and who he wants to be in her life, or in your life, and mine. I remember my neighbor when my husband was in college at Lee University, then it was called college. We lived in a duplex, and used to come over, and she said she was a good Baptist girl. And she said, I just cannot accept this tongues thing. I can't do that. I don't want any part of it. I said, Ruth Ann, don't fight it. Just say, God, I want all that you have for me. Just pray, God, fill me with your presence. Are you hungry for God? Yes, I'm so hungry for more of him. And so she began to seek God. And I was pretty much a little bit convicted because I sat there, or I was in my bedroom and her bathroom. It was a duplex, and her bathroom was on the other side, and I could hear her crying out, "Oh God, give me more of you. I want to know you." God is no respecter of persons. He will give you His presence, His Holy Spirit, when you hunger and thirst, and when you recognize His glory. And you may say, "Well, I don't even know how to recognize His glory." Pray, He'll help you. And she was praying, and I heard her, and I thought, "God, you really bring conviction to me. I need to pray more." And I began to pray, and one day she came to my house, to my door. And when I opened the door, I said, "What happened to you? Heard the song, 'What in the world done happened to you?'" They said to the guy who had been an alcoholic and came back, "What in the world happened to you?" She said, I know now." She said, I was slain in the spirit and I was out. I can't explain to you the things." And she said, "When I came to myself, I was speaking a heavenly language." God will give you the desires of your heart when you seek Him and when you recognize Him as the Lord of glory. And when you say, "I need what you have. I want all you have for me." He's no respecter of persons. In 2 Chronicles, you know the scripture very well. We know that there are revivals going on throughout the world today, and you're hearing about it. God is not a respecter of us here. All He wants is for us to seek Him with all of our hearts, to recognize, "God, you are great. You're the one I want to follow. It's not based on who I am. It's not based on what I can do. It is what you can do through me. Let me just be a channel, a vessel that you can use." And God will do that. 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name..." Now he's talking to the church. He's talking to people who bear the name of Christ, even though this is Old Testament. They were representative of God's glory. And he said, "Who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." You see, there are several things in there. He said, "Humble yourself, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways." There is stair steps there. It's all included. We turn from our wickedness. We humble ourselves. We pray, seek the face of God. He said, "Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Oh, how we need a healing in our land, in our nation, or in our world. We need a healing in our families. We need a healing in our own lives. So many times we get so carried away with the things of life and we forget that God is an awesome God. I want to say, I stand in awe of you, O God, holy God, to whom all praise is due. I stand in awe of you. You may not be able to stand. You may be on your face on the floor saying, "I am before you, O God. Make me what you want me to be. Do with my life what you desire to do, and then give it to Him. Don't worry about it." Amen. If you're watching this telecast today and you have not made God the Lord of your life, Jesus came and died on the cross so that He could reunite, so He could connect you to God. God loves you, and He wants the best for you. He is an awesome God. He's the one who created this world. He created you. He made you so beautifully, so special. But He said, Jesus came to unite us with God because Adam sinned, and all mankind now has sinned. We've all gone astray. Turn to our own ways. We're self-centered. You can even look at a baby, a little child, and he said, "It's mine, it's mine." And we have that attitude until God changes that in our hearts. If you would like to have Jesus come in and be the Lord of your life, you could do that right now. I encourage you, time is of the essence. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Not later tomorrow. I'll do it later after I finish this evil deed that I want to do. No, it's today. Today I give my life to Him. I encourage you to make that decision as we pray this prayer. Agree with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us and convicts us and brings the knowledge of sin into our lives, that we may turn from that sin and accept the blood of Jesus to atone. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us so that we could be reunited with God. Thank you, Lord, for what you have prepared for those who trust you, who serve you. Thank you that there is a place you've prepared. You said, I wouldn't have told you that I'm going away to prepare a place for you if it were not true. But I go to prepare that place, and we believe that. We know that. And so I pray today that every person who's under the sound of my voice, who is trusting and saying, I want to become a Christian, that you will come into their lives right now as they put their faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I trust that you've made the decision, if you hadn't made it before, to follow Jesus. It's the greatest decision that you can ever make, the greatest choice. Thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May the Lord give you a blessed and wonderful week. Okay, before we dismiss, I want to give anybody an opportunity, if you have something you want to share, if the Lord has spoken to you or done something special, I want you to have that opportunity before we are dismissed. Okay.